Bořek Lisec, Consul General of the Czech Republic in Chicago, has unearthed and preserved remarkable stories of Czech-American friendships and come to believe that, quite possibly, Czechoslovakia would not have gained its independence had it not been for efforts of the people of Chicago and the Midwest. To honor their individual and collective contributions and legacies, he's helping put together centenary celebrations in the Windy City this autumn, requiring 2 weekends to pack it all in. Brian Kennedy has more in today's main feature.
Chicago, the biggest city in the American Midwest, has been a major center of Czech immigration to the United States since the 1850s and was something of a second home to Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk at the turn of the last century, before he became the first president of the Czechoslovak Republic. The friendships that Masaryk made there as a visiting professor in the early 1900s would prove instrumental in helping to bring President Woodrow Wilson around to the cause of Czechoslovak independence, as would Chicago itself.
Chicago played a very important, and I would even say key role, maybe if there was not for the help from the Midwest, both our American friends as well as Czech Americans, Czechoslovakia might not have been created. So from the very beginning I felt my responsibility, but also I felt that a very positive motivation that I should try to prepare special celebrations at which we could thank to those who helped us 100 years ago create our modern statehood, and also retell the stories that were unfortunately sometimes forgotten.
Bořek Lisec has been with the Consulate of the Czech Republic in Chicago since it reopened in 2005 and its Consul General since September 2014. Around 75,000 people in the Midwest claim Czech ancestry, with the greatest single concentration in Chicago. During his tenure at the consulate, Mr. Lisec has met countless Americans whose ancestors fought for Czechoslovak independence, whether on the battlefield of the First World War or on the home front, lobbying Washington to the cause, raising money to support the fledgling country's troops and institutions, or sewing them uniforms and sending them packages.
It is still possible to find on the U.S. Midwest Czech-speaking Americans whose ancestors came in the 19th century. So I am really privileged to be able to serve there. I am always received incredibly kindly, and the usual scenario of my meeting with a Czech-American in Nebraska, in South Dakota, Minnesota, anywhere, the conversation starts. My great-great-great grandmother would have been very pleased if she knew that I met you, and is there anything that I can do for you? And I certainly don't take this for granted, and I greatly appreciate it. And in my work, I really rely often on the help of Czech Americans who still feel very patriotic about their heritage.
Perhaps the ultimate celebration of that heritage, the Czech Centennial Gala, will be held in Chicago on the weekend of September 28th, Czech Statehood Day. A half dozen local so-called organizations and groups such as the United Moravian Societies, which since the late 1930s have helped generations in the United States preserve or connect with their roots, will all certainly be out in force, flying the flag of their ancestors. Apart from assembling a stellar lineup of musicians, the consulate and its partner organizations will also commemorate fascinating stories associated with the creation of the Czechoslovak state in 1918 and its rebirth after falling under Nazi occupation in World War II. Honored guests will include representatives of American and Czech-American families and institutions in Chicago and the greater Midwest, who Mr. Lisec says deserve the country's everlasting thanks.
Probably the most important help was that there were people in the Midwest and in Chicago who were able to help Professor Masaryk to gain access to President Wilson.
Among the prominent historical Chicago figures who he says is deserving of special recognition is Charles Crane, the the American entrepreneur who helped the University of Chicago establish its Slavic Studies department. He was a patron of Art Nouveau painter Alphonse Mucha, who commissioned the famous Slav epic cycle. It was Crane, in fact, who brought then-professor Masaryk to Chicago and who later provided him with the critical startup funding for his Czechoslovak independence drive.
Masaryk really believed that the U.S. will have the main voice, main decision-making voice in how Europe will look after the First World War. And with that, he came to the U.S. in 1918. And his friends who invited him to the University of Chicago already in 1902, Charles Crane, then introduced him to President Wilson and convinced him that Masaryk will be a great asset for him as an advisor on Russia and on developments in Europe. And Masaryk really managed to change Woodrow Wilson's position. Woodrow Wilson originally believed that Austro-Hungary should remain in existence. Others who helped were Congressman Adolf Sabat, who actually later became Dean of the U.S. House of Representatives and held his record in length of serving even till the new millennium, but a bit beyond that, and also judge of the U.S. Constitutional Court, Louis Brandeis. They were both Czech Americans and helped Masaryk also a lot in his campaign.
Before arriving in the U.S. in 1918 to drum up support for the Czechoslovak cause, Masaryk had traveled abroad widely, from Moscow to Vladivostok, from Tokyo to Vancouver, seeking committed support for his dream of an independent homeland. In particular, though, he sought support from American President Woodrow Wilson, who, in his famous 14 points, had demanded the nationalities of the rapidly disintegrating Austro-Hungarian Empire enjoy, quote, the freest opportunity to autonomous development. But both times that Masaryk taught in Chicago, in 1902 and in 1907, he had toured the Midwest extensively and was struck by how large and strong the Czechoslovak community there was. So when he began looking for concrete aid, says Mr. Lidzetz, he knew exactly where to go. Chicago.
In 1914, when he decided that he wanted to fight for Czech independence, he had someone to turn to for help. And the first help he needed was financial help. And this is actually what America really did. I think Czech America really paid, we could say, for our independence. And a large amount of these sources came from the Midwest. Chicago was also a center of all these campaigns. And Czech Americans collected $1.5 million during the war, another $7 million of material aid and finances in the first year of the Czechoslovak Republic.
What would that translate into in today's currency?
I was trying to figure it out, and I never was able to do that. But the amount was really, really high. We were able to cover with it the Czech independence. That means this money was also used to sustain the Czech troops in Siberia, to sustain the Czechoslovak legions, the Czech women, which call themselves the bees of Chelky. They were packing big boxes of aid to the Czech soldiers throughout the war.
And these bees, was that a nationwide movement or specific to Chicago?
As far as I know, probably nationwide, but they had the distribution center was in Chicago. But for example, in Nebraska, I know that the bees were also very active. Nebraska till today has the highest percentage of Czechs in the population in the U.S. It's around 6% of Nebraskans claim to be of Czech ancestry. And then, of course, we also must say that when Masaryk called on Czech American men to enlist in the army, both American and Czechoslovak, about 40,000 of them did that. So that was another major support. If we looked at the censuses, in absolute numbers, Texas would have more Czech Americans than Illinois. But having said that, I think in terms of concentration, that would be in the Chicago area still. There are still many active organizations that actually work quite nicely together. They are also kind of representing the different waves of immigration. The oldest generations from the 19th century are mainly centered around genealogy society and also around the Bohemia National Cemetery, which may be the largest Czech cemetery in the world. There are over 100,000 gravestones in that cemetery, many memorials of the life of Czech Americans in the U.S. By the way, also to those soldiers who fought for Czechoslovak independence in the First World War and were born in Chicago.
Masaryk proclaimed the creation of the new sovereign state of Czechoslovakia in Philadelphia, at the site where both the American Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution were adopted.
It is one of the great experiences of my life that I was allowed to proclaim the principles of our revolutionary liberation in the Independence Hall, the place where Washington and his friends used to meet. My hearty wishes to the American people.
In the May 1918 Memorandum of Understanding between the Czech and Slovak immigrant communities to create an independent republic bears the name of the place it was signed, the Pittsburgh Agreement. So perhaps it's about time the role of Chicago and the Midwest got special recognition. Among the lesser known, if not forgotten, times that the people of the Windy City played a role in shaping Czech history came in 1939. Some 6 months after Edvard Beneš had resigned as Czechoslovak president following Hitler's annexation of the Sudetenland, he visited Chicago, where, like Masaryk before him, he collected money from Czechoslovak immigrants and their descendants. Like Masaryk, he too had taught at the University of Chicago. Apart from special historic presentations highlighting such stories, the Czech Centennial Gala events will also feature an art exhibition commemorating artists with strong Chicago connections who also made their marks in terms of their Czech patriotism. Painter Alfons Mucha, sculptor Albin Polášek, and graphic artist and designer Wojtek Presík. And, of course, no celebration would be complete without star music performances, says Mr. Lisitz.
We have been able to really prepare what I believe will be special celebrations. We will have 2 weekends of program, one at the end of September, where also the main gala evening will take place on the day of Czech statehood, on the 28th of September. And the second weekend will take place at the beginning of November, and this will be a celebration which will include Czech Philharmonic Orchestra and also a Czech swing singer Jan Smigmator in the September part. We are fortunate to have also quite impressive list of stars, and we will have probably the greatest Czech rock star Petr Janda with the greatest Czech American rock star Mr. Jim Peterik, who also has Czech ancestry and excelled by writing one of the nicest rock melodies of all time, Eye of the Tiger, known from the series of Rocky movies.
Among the living American legends on the guest list is a film starlet who appeared opposite the likes of Frank Sinatra in Preminger's The Man with the Golden Arm, and one of the only 3 people on Earth to have flown to the moon twice.
Kim Novak, a Hollywood star, star of the film Vertigo. I hope that she will be with us, but she already recorded for us a video message to promote the celebrations. We also invited other prominent Czech Americans, which symbolize, as I said, the success in later generations. We are still, of course, hoping that they will all make it, so I don't want to say too much in advance, but in front of you is a newspaper that we prepared, and there are quite many Czech Americans from Chicago, such as a legendary astronaut from Apollo 13 mission, James Lovell, who was played by Tom Hanks in the movie. Also, of course, ice hockey players, current ones who play in Chicago, Jan Ruta and David Kempf will be at the gala evening as well. And I'm just really naming a few of those who are in touch with me.